good morning to every one of you. How are you doing today? It's always very exciting to be here and sharing family lessons with you. You know, yesterday when I sent out that artworks, someone called me and said, hey, Adam, you people, too, you can discuss this. And my response was that, look, once it has to do with life, it has to do with family, it has to do with the home, trust that we will find ways of talking about it, especially if it will educate, if it will help somebody, if at the end of the day, it feeds into our mandate that says making homes out of houses. And yes, we will discuss it. So thank you all very much for tuning in this morning. We're live on Joy 99.7 FM. This is Home Affairs. My name is Adam Knight Tay. Till dates, people still butcher this name. Hey, Oya Zeno. E-D-E-M. K-N-I-G-H-T. You put a hyphen, or if you like, a dash. And then you do T-A-Y. So Adam the British Knight dash and a Tay. They write Adam Knighty. Someone spelled N-A-I-T-U-Y. I said, oh, say. But yeah, thank you very much for joining us. This morning, we're having a conversation on preterm babies. All you need to know, the stories. I heard some. The education and all the learnings you can glean from this conversation today. At some point, I was asking Doc, why? Is it genetic as well? I'm going to ask him that question here this morning. Especially when he said that, Doc, you said what, your dad was born preterm? My
dad is preterm, and then I am a preterm. My brother's first is also a preterm, so it's running a family.
This one to your inheritance family, like, that was the first time I heard that yesterday. Anyway, you're welcome.
Thank you.
So this morning, I mean, yesterday I got very interesting feedbacks when we posted the flyer. Just a moment. Okay, so when I posted the flyer, somebody says, hey, this doctor too was born preterm. I said yes, so that you know that. I mean, when you're born preterm, it's not your friend is saying. Yeah, you haven't been sentenced to death, you know. You can survive depending on the care you are given. And we're going to talk about that. So my guest, I have, let me start with Na. Na is the convener of this conversation. Na Kwoko Aye. Na is the founder of J Foundation. Now, just briefly, J Foundation, what do you do?
Okay, so mandate is to take care of preterm babies mm-hmm. and neonates and then their mothers as well. So that's what we do. Our mandate is to ensure that these preterm babies survive.
Great.
Yes, because they come into the world struggling. So our aim is to ensure that they do well in the hospital. So whatever support we can give to the mothers and the hospitals, we do that to ensure that they survive. Yeah.
And Na herself is a preterm mom. Yeah. She has a very chilling story. Every time we go into that story, we both end up, you know, shedding tears.
Yes.
Now, there's something you've been doing that we said, you said you've been advised to stop doing. I also thought, yeah, you should stop it. Have you stopped it?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying.
Maybe we will get there, you know, so you know what we are talking about. But, I mean, it's really very hard. It's very hard. Now, thank you for convening this conversation. And this is also because last week, 17th, right?
Yes, yes.
Was the preterm day.
Yeah, well, so prematurity day.
Exactly. Yeah. So everybody, I mean, mothers who have had preterm babies or babies who were born preterm and are doing well, even if you're not doing well, that's a day set aside to say that we recognize you.
Yeah,
and then you're important as well. Yeah. We couldn't have the conversation on that day, but we planned that today we will shed light on preterm babies, some of the challenges they go through, and what we all can do to support preterm babies and preterm mothers.
Yes, please.
Great. And then I also have Magdalene Enyonam Agbavito and her daughter Frances Perpetual Dela Edem Fiagbe, who was born preterm as well. Magdalene, hiya.
Hi, hi.
How are you?
We are very well.
Dela Edem, come. Kojo, can you please come and lower the microphone for her for me? Let her just sit there. Every once in a while, when I want to say hello to her, she was... No, Dela Edem, just this way. Uh-huh. I'll lower the microphone for you so that when I want to say hello to you, you can say hello. She came, I mean, mommy woke her up all the way this morning not to come and be a spectator. I beg, pa.
Oh, they put her in there.
Great. Dela Edem, are you shy? You're not, don't worry. We're just having a conversation. I am auntie, okay. Say hi to me in the microphone. Speak up. Great, how are you? How old are you? Could you lower the microphone? Yeah, Dela Edem is 10 years. And you will hear her story. Yesterday, mommy was sharing. I said, mommy, you know what? It's enough. Let's share the rest on Home Affairs this morning. And then we have Dr. Drum roll for Doc. We have Dr. Enim Emmanuel. Yes. He is a senior medical officer, Ghana Health Service, with the Keta Municipal Hospital. Doc was born preterm as well. Mm-hmm. And now he is a doctor taking care of preterm babies. Doc, you know, this is like a dream of a lot of young people. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they had a skin condition, the child says that I want to grow up to become a dermatologist so I can take care of these.
And it's like,
and you are living that dream. Tell me how it feels. Let me start with you. Tell me how it feels.
So I was born preterm, like I said earlier. Mm-hmm. We had to stay in the hospital for 6 weeks. And then after we were discharged home, I was hospitalized a number of times with respiratory issues. But as I grew up, I grew out of them. So I happened to become a doctor by God's grace. And was posted to Keta as part of my postings, national postings. And over there, the med soup asked me to go for a workshop. From there, I was tasked to start a NICU.
Wow.
And so we started a NICU, and from there we've been doing good. We are taking care of the babies, and that's how come I met Na. They came and supported us during our first graduation ceremony. There was one just yesterday.
Yes.
They had one just
graduation
yesterday.
Graduation ceremony.
Yes, so we have a graduation
For the babies.
For the babies.
Oh!
Through the NICU.
So
it was nice. Yesterday someone sent me a message that thank you for what you started, and I was so happy. I was happy in my heart.
Oh, no. This is so cool. Like what? You have graduated.
Yes.
Welcome to life.
Yes.
Yay. I like that. Now, please, I want to go, to one of these graduations with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think last week, Friday, there was one at Koforidua, and they had the purple gowns.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Cater to they got the gowns.
Yes. It was so cute. Like, so...
Wow.
My team said, you know what? We should make more gowns and then brand it and distribute it to the hospital. It's so beautiful when they do them. And then they tell you, so when they mention your name, they tell you when you were born, at what the number of weeks. And then you hear the nurses shouting, and then the nurses give them nicknames, because some of them struggled in the NICU to feed and all. And then you can tell the excitement. And then these kids are almost like a year, 2 years, and they are there walking and it's nice. It's exciting.
We thank that sounds really cool. Doc, so you're living the dream.
Yes, exactly.
Great. This morning, if you're tuned in, the conversation is scattered a little bit, but we'll focus it because there's a, I mean, it's sad, but I like the exciting part. This graduation, I didn't know about. I'm graduating from NICU. Like, that's really so interesting. Yeah. Okay, so I'd like to start first with you. I'll come back to you, Doc, and start with you. Preterm, when a woman is pregnant, you're expected to, you know, carry till about 40 weeks, yes, right? And then you can safely deliver your baby.
Yes.
And you can go home. Then you have a full-grown baby. Yes. And I mean, a full-grown, yeah, baby at birth. And
yeah,
then you
a
take
term baby.
But then, yes, I mean, I like it.
A term baby, yes.
Exactly. You say, oh, while you graduate, you start using the term.
Yes,
as
yes.
You know, you are using the right register. That's mm-hmm. nice. Good. So you have a full-term baby and then you take your child home. But we're learning that from 36 weeks, we can say that the child is preterm.
So below 37 completed weeks is a preterm.
Oh, so from 37, you are term.
Yes. So when you complete 37,
below
you are 30, term.
Uh-huh.
Below 36.
37.
So 36 and below.
Yes.
Okay.
It's preterm.
And so people are giving birth to the, I mean, the babies are coming at 28 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In Ghana, viability is 28 weeks.
Okay. So. But do we have some coming less than 28?
Yes. 24, 26,
25,
27.
26.
Yeah.
And
some of them
some
make
of
it.
Them survive?
Yes. In Ghana?
Yes.
There must be a lot of struggle.
Yeah. Yes. There will be a lot of struggle.
For the babies.
Okay. So question is, what happens
when they are born too early?
What? Yes, how does that happen? What happens? What are the reasons?
Okay, so there can be, for mine, for instance, it was...
In your case?
In my case, my mother had...
As you were told.
An infection, kind of.
Yeah.
So she had a fever, chills,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And then low abdominal pain,
mm-hmm.
then the labor started.
Mm-hmm.
So infections can be a
like
cause.
Any form of infection,
yes,
at all?
Yes, yes. So
oh,
any
I
form
see.
Of infection can cause
okay.
the preterm labor. Then there can also be some medical issues, probably the BP is so high, maybe mother is in trouble, baby has to come out. Sometimes mother is bleeding and so profusely, so baby has to come out. So it could be antepartum hemorrhage, bleeding, it could be hypertensive emergencies, it could be infections. I have, apart from me, who came a bit earlier, I've also had a patient who was born at 26, and then she also came and delivered at 26. I was a house officer at 37.
No. Say that again.
She was born at 26
and
weeks.
And then she also came
she
to
also
give
came
birth.
And delivered at 26 weeks.
Ah, the thing isn't running in bloodline.
So I don't know.
If it's hereditary.
I don't know whether it's running in the family, but like mine and hers, it repeated.
Wow.
But I don't know the connection.
It means there's something you guys have to look
maybe
into.
We have to look
at it because it can happen like that. So there might be medical conditions where it will necessitate that the baby should come out. If baby doesn't come out, the mother will be in trouble.
Mm.
Okay, so then we will have to help the baby come out. Sometimes naturally, baby will also come. So these are some of the reasons. So it could be infection, it could be hypertensive emergencies, it could be multiple pregnancies. When you have twins or triplets, they come earlier than usual, and they are also small in size, so they have to be nursed at an NICU. These are some of the reasons.
We've also heard. I have heard also about like some traumas.
Yes.
Leading to some of these things.
Yes, like my dad had a mom had a trauma, and then in the process, he came.
Okay.
So the trauma led to the spontaneous.
Like if you are
labor.
Pregnant and you have an accident. The trauma.
Or
it's like how sometimes you can be there and then there's an incident and you have your menses immediately.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, once you are pregnant, it can the traumas.
And some of these can be emotionally induced as well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know because I have heard, like you know, you've heard stories about people being in situations of, I mean, domestic abuse when they are pregnant. And, yeah, they tell you that they are traumatized and all that, and it is a lot of the psychological issues that just end up putting them in those states and all that. I've heard some of these things, so I wanted to ask and, you know, have it established that could those be part as well? Mm-hmm. So that when you have a woman around you who is pregnant, you know how to take care of, you know, the woman. We have a show coming up in January.
I mean, yeah.
Nah is on the show, and we call it 40 Weeks and More. I hosted it, and you will hear some of these stories.
Yeah.
40 weeks of pregnancy and some of the things that women go through just in a bit to be able to have a baby. And it's serious. Anyway, so we've established some of the causes of, you know, some of the things that can lead to a woman or a pregnant woman having a preterm child. And we've mentioned infections, any form of infection at all, medical issues or medical conditions. Mm-hmm. And Doc talked about the fact that, I mean, you could be hypertensive, diabetes could be part of it, and all of those other medical conditions that can, you know, trigger, you know, you having a preterm baby. And then bleeding as well, multiple pregnancies. I remember when I was pregnant with my twins, my gynae told me, we don't usually like these sort of pregnancies.
We don't like them.
I said, oh, doc. I said, no, it doesn't mean that it's not okay. It's just that when it comes to, we don't like them. They tend to cause problems a little bit. We don't like them. But by the grace of God, you know. I mean, they came, I think, around 36 weeks thereabouts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they were okay. One was 2.05. The other mm-hmm. was 2.27.
Okay.
So they were pretty good. But yeah. They were. I don't know. They were in NICU. But they put them under the photo for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, it was on and off. And it was quite challenging. You had to be in the mother's hostel. You go home to go and see one. One is there. Eventually, you move all of them to the hostel. My sister is there helping take care of them. So they come and see them. Oh, thank God. Great. Yeah. Doc, so did you have, like, what's the difficulty with having a preterm child? In your case, for instance, growing up, do you remember you going through any difficulties at all? Because you were born at what? How many weeks?
28.
28 weeks?
Yes.
You weren't ready to come at all. You weren't cooked.
So yeah. I had just hit viability in Ghana.
Wow.
Yes.
And how was it, I mean, as your mother told you, how was it like you for her 28 weeks, baby had come out in the hospital and all that?
So she said because of the symptoms, she went into labor and then the whole process took 3 days. And so from one health center to the other, and then eventually ended up at the General Hospital,
wow. Tema.
And so she delivered me there. And then because of my size, people kept coming in and out of the room just to come and have a look at the tiny baby. They said, people said, go and see. Abba has given birth to a lizard.
In Tema
General. So everyone who came to my bedside, she was eager to know what the comment they were going to pass and what they were going to do.
Wow.
And so That was also, I think, traumatic to her at a point. And then we stayed in the hospital for 6 weeks because of the respiratory issues.
Okay.
And then I wasn't gaining weight too. So we stayed there for, after 6 weeks, the doctors were like, I had Dr. Popolampo, Dr. Ikufu. They were like, no, we have to discharge this lady.
Are they around now?
Dr. Kufu, I went to his hospital, but he had passed.
Oh, but
Dr.
he saw Popola- you.
No, he had passed.
Okay, before you went there.
Before I went there.
Oh.
But Dr. Popolampo is around. I want to find him.
Oh, please find
show
him.
Myself. And then thank him for the good work he did.
Yeah.
And so, according to my mom, we stayed there. I wasn't gaining weight. And they were worried about the descent of the testes because I had come too early.
Mm-hmm.
They said a lot of those, especially the males, they passed.
Yeah, because of that.
And I also noticed that in my NICU, a lot of the times, the males pass more than the girls. The girls do very well. And so those were the challenges. Then when we came home after 6 weeks, I got respiratory problems. So they even thought I had asthma. They gave me all the medications, were in and out of the hospitals every time. So at a point, someone advised that, okay, you are always coming to the hospital, so just take good care of him and then give him prophylaxis. Like, okay, these are the medications we might give him. So you'll be giving it to him every month or every other month. So
your mother was tasked to do that?
Yes, by one of the nurses. So then after that discussion and she started giving me the medications, I think my grandmothers and grandfather, they did a lot of herbal preparations too. They did a lot. So moving me from one house to the other. And so, but everything went out well because I haven't noticed that I have respiratory issues. The only thing is I know that when there is a strong scent in the place, I feel uncomfortable, but I don't have those issues any longer. But they thought I was asthmatic, and it was a big thing.
Was it challenging growing up?
Oh, I say no. I had a normal childhood. I was running everywhere, doing everything, even in the JSS. I was like a normal child. I was a normal child.
That's after you got well and
after
got
I
on
got
your
well,
feet and everything.
I mean, it was like a normal childhood, even into the senior secondary school where I did sports. I ran.
Okay.
I did discus. I did javelin. I did all of those.
I see.
Like a normal. I'm a normal person. And so, so then my grandfather didn't used to beat me or touch me, even if I did something bad. He'd go like, amongst all my grandchildren, you are the weakest, so I won't touch you.
Yes.
because they saw
how
I was.
Born,
yes.
Yeah.
So, but it's been interesting. It was a nice childhood. It was a beautiful thing.
Wow.
Now, I always thank God I went into that particular family because they've shown me
so much love. Yeah. You have children now?
Yes, I have.
They were in preterm?
No.
Okay, then the thing is not in the blood.
No. But the twins were kept at the NICU. I also have twins.
I see.
They were nursed at the NICU, same NICU she held me built.
Okay.
And so it was fun. I have benefited from this.
Wow. But they came at how many months?
They came at 38.
38.
But they were small.
They were cooked.
2.5 and then 2.3.
But that's okay.
Yes.
I mean, for twins, I think that weight is okay. You know this lizard thing? The first time I saw, like, a set of twins, somebody had delivered, they were preterm as well. I was scared. Hey!
That's really scary.
Like, look, I was so scared. And so when I was pregnant and they said I had twins, I had this thing on my mind until I had my babies. And then one of my brothers-in-law, when he came to see my babies in the hospital, he said, hey, like, it was after the kids were, when the twins turned, I think, 4 or so, then he said, when he saw them, he told me, that was what he told it. He asked his wife, will they make it? And I'm like, by which time I had learned that people came in at 1.5 and mine were over 2. And this is what you were thinking, you know? So it's such a wonderful thing. When you're pregnant, you just want to have an issue-free pregnancy. But it's not that for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, because you are the convener, I'll come to you to come and find out how you even got yourself involved in this, to hear that you helped build a NICU. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And they were from the World Cup. That means sure, God should give you more money to be able to build more and take care of more babies like this. Let me come to you, Magdalene and Dela Edem. Dela Edem, mommy has told you the story of your birth. How do you feel about it? Get close to the microphone. Get close to the mic. How do you feel about it?
Oh, she's shy.
No, you shouldn't be shy. Me and you will have a conversation. Have you told your friends the story of your birth? You haven't told them. And you don't want them to know, right? So you don't want us to say it. Oh, don't worry, we will talk. Mommy,
yes,
congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
And Elidam, happy birthday to you.
Mm, happy birthday to you. Birthday
when was it? Last week?
Yes.
Oh, happy birthday to you. You're 10. You're a miracle baby. Okay, everybody's thinking that Edem, you're the only person who knows the story. Mm-hmm. Magdalene.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the light that was born a preterm.
See, that way I've relaxed in my chair.
So, at 6 weeks of pregnancy, I...
You mean six?
6 weeks. I was vomiting excessively. That's hyperemesis. So, I was referred from the clinic I went to Kolebu. Mm. Yes. So from there, like, they did everything they could, but the vomiting wasn't stopping. It wasn't. So I was only depending on like drips. So I would spend like 4 days there. They would discharge me. Maybe that same evening.
You go back.
I'll go back. Wow. Yes. So it got to a time they said no, they won't discharge me again. So no baby, no home. I was there. So I was, first I was at Chinad, Kolebu Chinad. Then after 3 months, they said, Madam, you are promoted to maternity, so pack your things.
What sort of promotion is that?
We don't need you at Chinad anymore. You have to
Which
go.
Which one is the Chinad?
I think the Guinea side.
Guinea side.
Yes.
Okay. So after 28, they moved them to the obstetric side.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So I was promoted to the maternity, and I spent some weeks there also. But in fact, my condition was just not...
So you were still hurling, like still vomiting?
Yes. I vomited until, I think when...
Like on daily basis?
Not daily, like all the time.
Hey.
All the time. It was a severe one. All the time I was vomiting. All the time. So wow. Even I lost weight during pregnancy. Like, it wasn't easy.
Wow.
Yeah. So, at the maternity too, they were managing me, but things were still not getting better. The vomiting persisted. Like, it wasn't funny. Yeah. So, it got to a point, proud to... I didn't have a normal delivery.
Mm.
I had to go through cesarean section. Yeah. So it got to a point, I think 3 days prior to that, I wasn't feeling her movement. Yeah.
This was how many weeks into the pregnancy?
Let me say 32.
Okay. Oh, you had progressed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 32 weeks. 32 weeks into it. So I wasn't feeling her movement. We did scan. You know, they will not, because of my condition, I think they were hiding things from me. They rather tell my husband, like,
So you weren't asking questions.
I do, but they say, Madeline, so everything you have to know. you'll be fine. Like, they were always encouraging me, though. They were encouraging me. So that was one Saturday. I wasn't feeling her. Sunday, nothing. So they were like, okay, those who have been doing the scan, they don't come to work on weekends.
But you weren't feeling the movement.
Yes.
You were in hospital.
Yes.
Were they checking the fetal heartbeat?
No, they, like, in a week, we do like 3 scans. Like, they were always checking her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were always checking her.
You know they have this other machine that they will use to come and...
Yes, so it was Monday.
I like the sound of that thing.
Yeah, so the Saturday, Sunday, Monday was when they told me, like, the form that they used for the scan.
Yes.
Uh-huh, they said heartbeat was absent, like fetal.
Wow. Distress,
yeah.
Uh-huh, was absent. Then... Tuesday, so they did the thing and they came out that
the same.
Yes, and they were saying it's a stillborn.
She's gone.
Uh-huh. So I had to they need to conduct an emergency CS on me. So that afternoon, they called my husband.
So at that time, they had concluded that the baby was gone. Yes, still born.
So they asked me to call my husband to come and fill some forms and go and pay for the blood process because of the CS. So he came, and the first thing they did was they called some psychologists to come and psych me on what the situation was.
The right thing to do.
They were like, oh, you have done well, you fought, but this is the situation. So we just want to conduct this one so that the womb will be safe for other babies. It was tough, but thought I had to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if that will give me, if this will go and others will come, it's that's okay. Yes, but
how did you take it? You were just okay?
Will you be okay? No, I wasn't, but you know, if it's the will of the Lord, let it be, if it's His will. Because to me, I had come too far
to lose her.
But, you know, my health was at stake, you know. My health was at stake, so I just have to let them do
what they had to do.
Yes, yes. So they talked to me. I took it with faith that it is what it is. So the emergency CS, they took me to the theater. I was not to eat because they were about to like operate me. They took me to the theater that Tuesday afternoon around 3 p.m. I was lying there. Nothing was done about me. And, you know, I was getting weak, though there was drip on me, but I was getting weak. Following the Wednesday.
Hold on. You were supposed to have a CS.
Yes, an emergency one.
On a Tuesday.
It's not emergency.
They said emergency CS. When were you told
you needed an emergency CS?
That's Tuesday afternoon. So I had to call my husband to come and assign some forms. Yes.
And they prepped you for theater.
Yes.
And you were taken to theater.
Oh, I was taken to a room. They shaved my something and
everything.
Yes.
And then you were there waiting.
Yeah. Oh, and they pushed me to the theater, all right. Like a place they wait. Like,
Before they take you into the theater room.
Yes.
So. And then just hold on. It didn't happen.
No.
Were you told why it didn't happen?
Later one afternoon, I heard some doctors arguing. Once I don't belong to her team, she wasn't the one taking care of me at the ward. So, doctor was a woman.
I think they had other emergencies.
Yes. And, you know, I think they were trying to save those who were like, there's some hope for them.
Yes. And those who are babies. But yours,
the baby was already born.
They are God. So,
that's
risky.
And what I'm saying, Tuesday, they didn't do anything on me. Wednesday.
Madam, you are rushing the story. They didn't do anything.
No.
They wheeled you back to the ward.
No. I was there. I was still there.
And you weren't given any explanations?
No.
Apart from what you heard?
Yes.
Ah, how does that happen? Anyway, that's not why we are here.
Yes.
Doctor, today is in trouble.
Yeah. So, I was like, okay. As they did remove her on Tuesday, I'm a Wednesday, but the father is a Wednesday, so I think we'll have a Wednesday baby too. Wednesday, it didn't happen.
You will have a Wednesday
baby.
Had hope. I know, right? They didn't come on Wednesday too.
Wow.
Like she also come on Wednesday. So Wednesday too, it didn't happen.
Wow.
This is very serious.
Yes, Wednesday too, it didn't happen. So
you weren't asking questions, your husband was asking questions.
I was weak, and you know, sometimes if you are talking too much, the way they react towards you as if you are putting pressure on them. And, you know, I was always vomiting and there was always alarm in my mouth. So even talking was a problem for me. Yes.
Wow.
Thursday, around 1:30 there, and I saw one doctor I didn't see. He saw me and was like, he was from the theater. He removed his mask and was like, ah, is that Mark Darling? And I raised my head and I said, hey, doc. He took care of me at Chinad. Uh-huh. So, why? So you are the one who has been lying here since? And I said, yes. And he went for my folder and I think he read my history. And he said, no, there's someone there. So if that person comes out,
they should take
you, yeah, I should be the next patient to be operated on. So, miraculously, I went there and I told them, because of what they told me about the baby, I don't want to see it. Oh. Yes, I don't want to see it because I don't want to have anything,
memories of it.
So if they remove it, they should call the father. If he's willing to see it, fine. But me, I don't want to see. So they should put me to sleep. I want to sleep before they do everything. I don't want to. So truly, they put me to sleep. And I woke up at a point. The doctor was still by me. Yes. I was like, have they called the father? He was like, yes. So have you guys buried it or have you thrown it away?
Oh.
Yes. And he was like, he smiled and said, I have some good news, but don't overjoy. Like,
yeah.
Don't take it to heart. So that if the worst happened, you will not be disappointed.
Mm.
Yes. So it was like when they remove it, there was some life in her and they can't just throw it away like that.
Wow.
But that life was only 10%.
Wow.
Like 10%.
10%.
Yes, that's what he said. And I said, don't give 10%, then I'm adding the 90%, my child will live. And it was like, hey, Mag with her faith. That was what he said. Mag, you and your faith. And I say yes. Oh, if she, I can see her like she's alive, then she will live.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I said. So he told me they sent her to the NICU, and they called my husband to go and check on her. And to cut a long story short, that's my soul born 10 years today. That's my soul born.
Indeed, she's a miracle baby.
Yeah.
10%.
Yes, that's what he told me. 10%. Like,
he says the chances of surviving is was, 10%.
That's what he meant.
Uh-huh.
But 10% is nothing to write. It's like a
film. And look at her. Wow.
Yeah.
The lie is 10.
Yes.
Now tell me, how do you feel?
Della, speak into the microphone.
But that's why you came. How do you feel?
Oh.
I'm just talking to the mic.
Tell me, how do you feel? When mommy told you, at what age did she tell you this story? How old were you when she told you the story the first time?
Oh, let them talk.
You were 8 years. How did you feel when she told you? Get closer to the microphone.
She didn't tell me everything.
So you are now hearing it for the first time. You are now hearing the full story. Okay, now that you are hearing the full story, how does it make you feel?
Special.
How does it make you feel? Yes!
Oh.
That's it! That's it. She's grateful to God she is alive. And this is a very miraculous story. Baby is you know, gone. You're going to remove your baby still. And then first day, no surgery. Second day, no surgery. Third day, a doctor who was not supposed to be the one chanced on you and says, look, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
And then baby had 10% chance of survival. And 10% is 10 years.
I like that.
I love to hear such stories. Like, you know, it just makes your mood up.
Yeah.
Magdalene, so have you had other children?
No, please.
Interestingly.
Oh, wow.
10 no, years on, it's just the lie them.
Yeah, a series of miscarriages.
Oh.
Yes.
Dola, what do you want to become in future? Of course.
You have to be. You don't have an option.
Dr. Enim, you have a mentee.
You have no option.
You have a mentee. You have to mentor this one. You had his story. You cried there. You were older than him at birth. You were 32. He was 28.
He was 28.
I'm saying that she was older.
Older, okay.
Yeah, so you can become a doctor times 10. You understand? Uh-huh. So we're asking Dr. Enim to mentor you, and then you will become a doctor, and also we will share your story.
Amen.
So congratulations.
Thank you. Wow.
Now,
yes.
So what pushed you into all of this?
Well, so I think a lot of people know my story already. I had a preterm baby as well. I was carrying twins, and I had preterm. They came out, and then one passed. The boy didn't make it.
Oh, dear.
The girl made it. So the J Foundation is in memory of the boy and in honor of the girl, Jada. She's 6 now.
Mm.
And, yes.
Hard so, girl.
Yes. And then I have a team that supports everything, the J Foundation. So we have a number of people that also have preterm babies. They have beautiful stories as well. Yes. So we decided to come together and to support the NICUs. And it was after I visited Tema General with my baby girl. So I had her in the US, but when I came down, I wanted to pierce her ear. And the person who gave me the directions to the NICU rather. And I got there and then I saw NICU. I said, am I lost? Is this what we call NICU here? And that was before Tema General's NICU got renovated. So it was a terrible state. They had some fans making noise going around. I was like, I was devastated. So when I got there, thinking about all that I had been through, because in the States, I went through a difficult situation. They had to give me a chaplain, a psychologist. They had to give me several people to work on me to ensure that I'm fine. So when I came here, and I was comparing the two, when I came here and I saw the NICU here, I was traumatized. So I started crying. So they thought I was carrying my baby. So they thought there was something wrong with the baby. So they took the baby from me and took it to the NICU. I said, there's nothing wrong with the baby. I have a problem with you people. Is this what you call NICU? He said, this is what we make do. It's not really NICU. I said, but the place is not well ventilated. Say, we are managing. I was traumatized that day. And I saw them in very big diapers. You know, they are very tiny, and they didn't have... I was just devastated. So I had a lot of things. I had excess milk because I was... I had a lot of milk when I was lactating. So I had excess milk. I had clothes. So I went home. The next day, I called my husband. I told him that this is what I saw today, and I think that it's not good. He says, okay, so what do you want? I want to pick the things I brought at home. I want to send it to the... So the next day, so for... a whole month, every day I was at Tema General, the NICU. Now I'll go and speak to some of the mothers. We'll be there, and then another baby will pass, and the mother will be rolling on the floor. Jesus. And I was still in pain. But at that moment, I would speak to them. Yes, I'll say, and then there was a mother that came who had triplets, and then two died.
Oh,
she said, back on the Aceh hospital. She's because the other one would die too. And I could see the states that they were in. The nurses and the doctors were struggling. Sometimes the parents will come the next day and the babies are gone and they can't tell them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they'll be walking there. They'll be there the whole day and they won't tell them to.
I experienced that in Kolibu when my babies were there.
And so it was very traumatizing for me. Like, so I met a gentleman there who also had a baby there. And then he said he was going to renovate the place. Because I kept talking to him that we have to do something about the place and all that. And then that's how Tema General got their renovation.
Wow.
And so I spoke to my siblings, I spoke to people. And then my sister-in-law, she says, you know what, people start foundations and they don't, it's not like, I don't know, they have different purposes for starting it. But I think we should start a foundation and do something about the situation. We should get some success from this, because this is something that springs a surprise on everyone. No mother is ready for prematurity. And it looks like we have to educate the public about it, because women go through a lot of things. They have miscarriages. They don't talk about it. So another woman goes through it and she thinks she's alone.
Yeah.
There are mothers at home who have had preterm babies and they don't even want to share their stories, because some of their babies have gone blind. Some of them have serious issues and all that. They don't want to talk about it. So let's look at it and make sure that we are achieving our purpose. So that's what started the foundation. We came up with the color green. That means life. Mm-hmm. And then we started with an educational documentary. We said we'll visit all the hospitals in Ghana. Gladly, after 5 years, we've done that. Wow. We have, so every hospital we go to, we get a list of the mothers who have had preterm babies. We have a preterm mother group with a doctor on it and a nurse, so that in the middle of the night, if your baby has a problem, you can quickly reach out to us. If you are going through any emotional trauma, you can call us at dawn anytime. So that's how I met Madeline. So I went to the hospital. They gave me her number. That is what happened to her. I call her on the phone. So every year or 2 years, you post a baby's picture on it. My daughter is 8 today. Help me celebrate her. And then sometimes we'll go and do a donation back at the hospital. Yes. And all that. And it's all exciting. So that's how J Foundation came up. Yes. And then in visiting the hospitals, we ask a lot of questions. So we do feasibility studies. We do a needs assessment. So we go to your hospital. And most of the hospitals had really tiny rooms. So I'm like, why is your NICU so small? How many babies do you attend to? When they mention the numbers, you'd be marveled.
And you're wondering how they're accommodating all of them in that small space.
I think the doctors are doing a lot of magic, because it
really
doesn't make sense. You go and they are improvising. Sometimes, you know, the oxygen... Yes, the CPAP, they've used water bottles. They are so good. You go, the eye patches, they've used nose masks now. Then they tie, and I'm like, yes, they'll tell you that we are improvising. Yeah. And the babies will be fine. And I think they are doing a lot of good work out there. We need to praise them.
Yes.
Because the NICUs are really small. So we went back to Ghana Health Service. So we go and find out the problems. We sit back as a team. We have meetings. Then we say, okay, so what should we do next? Okay, let's go and see the Minister of Health. Let's put it to him. Let's ask him questions. Let's find out what we can do about the situation, because we as a foundation can't do everything. Yeah, so we've tried a lot of things. We've gone to the Ministry of Health. We've spoken to the Minister. And we've gone to the Ministry of Gender and Children's Affairs and everything. We've spoken to a lot of people.
And are you getting support?
Well, yes. So we got the answers that we wanted. So initially, in our Ghanaian hospitals, we didn't create spaces for neonatal intensive care units or PQs. So we don't have... So a child gets an accident and they'll take you to the same accident center, the emergency center, as an adult. Yes. So we don't have PQs like they have abroad and NICUs. So it was until recent, probably... The 2018 or 2016 that Ghana Health Service itself decided that they will start creating NICUs or put NICUs in hospitals, because they are getting sick babies and getting babies coming early.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go to the hospitals, it's a ward in the maternity that has been created. And NICU is supposed to be an intensive care unit. So there's not supposed to be any movement. These babies are in incubators.
Yes.
So, but you have a NICU in a maternity unit, the mothers keep going in and out. So the infection rates are so high. And that's where we decided that we needed to think about our long-term goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then our medium-term goals as well. So we decided that for places where we can put up NICUs, we will do that. If they have land alone, we'll put up a small NICU to start with that can house 20 to 30 babies in a very, very conducive environment so that they thrive. Because the donating of cot sheets and incubators and other things are not going to solve the problem. Because the rooms are too small to take care of the babies. So we visited Keita for the first... graduation. We did a big donation. They wanted suction machines. We gave them a lot of things. And then we realized that because we are also preterm mothers, we know what the mothers go through. We have the experience. When you have a preterm baby, you can't eat well. You are traumatized. So yeah, you are emotionally drained, financially, everything. Like, you don't get the support that you need. So they don't eat well. So we decided that we'll donate food items as well
to the mothers
in the hospital and those. So our donation always has food items. So we did that there. And then they said their NICU is really small. And if you had seen Kate's NICU, it's like a fifth of this studio.
Wow.
Yes. And they can take up 20 babies.
In that small space.
From where Edem is sitting. Yes, that line. Dr. Enim is here. If I'm lying, he can...
Why there are tiny incubators sometimes.
Yes, and they manage their situation. So if you are dying, if you can't survive, they put you in the incubator, they take another baby out. Sometimes they have two babies in an incubator.
Yeah.
They are just improvising with what they want. They are saving babies. Wow. Sometimes you go and some of the nurses are doing the KMC themselves.
Oh.
So we went there. There was a baby. What came up? What got us to start the documentary? There was a baby who... came out at 500 grams. This is less than, yes.
less than a kg.
Mm. So you can imagine, she was tiny. She was born on a Thursday, so we called her baby Yao. And the daddy says the mother is a witch.
Oh.
The whole family, the whole village, in fact. So there, she shouldn't come. So she was living in the hospital as well. You go there, she's always in a NICU. She was stranded. She didn't have a phone. Mm. She didn't have a family. She didn't have anyone to support. So it was the doctors and nurses that were taking care of her. So during that donation, we met her. We had to take care of her for a good 6 months. Had to take a media team and other people there, translator, to speak to the daddy and the family members before they accepted her. So we decided that, okay, we would come up with an educational documentary, have success stories like Dr. Enim. When we visited Keita, the matron that was at NICU, she was born preterm. Wow. Amazingly. Yes. She was born preterm. And she was proud. She said, yes, she was born preterm. She told me the story. So we featured them in the documentary. Dr. Enim was featured in our documentary.
Wow.
We have Reverend Mensah's son as well. Yeah. He's a pilot now.
Hello.
We wanted success stories so that just to encourage mothers, to let them know that when you take care of your babies, you give them the necessary. Immediately they go past one, they would grow up like a normal baby.
Yeah.
They might delay in walking, but they will talk quickly. Mm-hmm. You know? And these babies are very smart. So you give them the necessary care and love, and they will thrive. So we came up with a success story. We came up with mothers talking about their stories in different languages. And during COVID time, we decided to air it because everybody was home. So we decided to put it on social media and air it in the media houses. And I would like to say thank you to Multimedia. You have been a great support. You've been a partner from day one. And I want to say thank you for that.
Yeah.
So,
you're doing a great job.
Yes. So basically, yes, preterm is difficult, but I think sharing your story can help others.
Exactly.
Yes. And then we want people to know that there are success stories around. Dr. Enim, when he told me that he was born preterm at Tema General, and now he's come and he's happy when he's taking care of babies who were like him, I was so inspired.
We're waiting for Delilah.
she surely will.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure in a couple of in like 20 years, we'll come back and say she's a doctor. Yes.
Yes, amen.
Yes,
amen.
So.
I'm waiting for the light and share.
Yes. So basically, that's how the J Foundation started. And then we decided with. So during COVID time, a lot of mothers too were having preterm babies. I don't know. We read in a survey worldwide that a lot of babies came early during the year 2020. There was a doctor who used to be at Bator. She moved to Keita. When she went, yes, they told her about us. And she says, well, I met them. They came to Bator with Honorable Samuel Kudia to Ablakwa to do a donation. So I know them. I know the lady. I'll call her. They had a lot of babies, so they couldn't house them in the NICU. They put them under a tent. Oh. Because, yes, there was COVID, and they needed to ensure that.
Yeah.
And so they called us. And we had to rush to Keita. The situation wasn't good. So immediately we looked for donors, and then we put up a NICU. And then there was a mother shed, so we had to use that as a NICU and then create another mother shed. And so I've been working with Dr. Enim for a number of years now. And yes.
The babies are grateful, their mothers are grateful, and we're all grateful. Are you cool?
Thank you.
Someone sends a message and says, you know, when you talked about the fact that, I mean, when they go past one, they start getting better. Dr. Enim, for instance, says that he's been okay.
Yeah.
Magdalene, she's fine, right?
Yeah, she developed asthma.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so during the early stages, I think she was diagnosed of asthma when she was between 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. And we had been in and out of the hospital, lots of admissions. But to the glory of God, they are managing her. Mm. She still attends the asthma clinic every... this is every 3 months. Yeah, so there's improvement. They said she was great. They said that, like, the lungs were not fully formed when
she came out.
Yeah, so they are managing her. And the doctors at Kolibu are really doing well. They are really doing well. And they are managing her well for me.
Okay, she's not getting, like, very
the frequency, yeah, the frequency of the attacks has reduced. Yes. Okay.
But she knows what to do.
Yes. We are using some of their inhalers to manage her. Okay. Yes, please.
Great. Now someone sends a message. He says, I'm one of them, and I have a lot of complications before I grew up. I have gone through a lot, and I'm still struggling with life. I'm getting to 59. And it's still not easy for me. Thank God I have, you know, full-term babies. His name is Richard. And then, yeah, good morning to us and congratulations to our team. Richard, you will be fine. I mean, 59, God has been good to you.
Yeah.
You have your own children who are doing well. And that's all that matters. Oh, someone says... please, what's the name of the documentary and how do I find it?
Okay.
Is it on YouTube?
Yes, please. So, okay. They just have to type J Foundation educational documentary and then they'll find it. It is in 8 different parts.
Okay.
And they are short, yeah.
Great.
I think one of my mates at the NICU commented.
Oh.
They've sent their comments.
Yes.
Okay. I'm reading the messages, so shall we see them? Great topic. Anyway, this is Adam. When I remember, I did a second... is this the message? Okay, all right. This is a different message. Okay.
She mentioned Nah. Okay, yeah, that's
on,
one.
Hold on. so I see what it is. These are, like, very regulars, right? I'm trying to...
find the message you're sending for the day.
This is a regular somebody who engages with us regularly.
Who sends a lot of messages.
Exactly. Okay, so we have it.
Yeah, thank you for the talk.
Yeah, God be with you, Magdalene, and your daughter Frances. As for now, only God knows how He will bless you and your generation for your initiative. Thank you, Dr. Enim, for deciding not to be a banker, but a preterm lifesaver. Please, now, I want to support your foundation. So please let me know how.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, William. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. And then, I'm looking for Magdalene's message.
No.
Magdalene, I should go back.
That's okay.
That's it. Okay, all right. Okay, so we've answered that one. Now, there's one about being in the UK. I have a niece who was born preterm in the UK. I don't know at what week she was born. She's in her late 20s now.
Oh,
however,
wow.
She is autistic, which has been attributed to her being born preterm.
Yeah.
Is this true, Doc?
Yeah, some of the effects.
So, some of the effects.
Yeah.
Because we are born...
Earlier, before your time.
The surfactant, which is a lipoprotein, which helps to maintain the structure of the alveoli when you exhale. Naturally, because of the surfactant, it keeps it
Doc,
open.
All the things you're mentioning.
Jaggles.
Okay. So
bring
so,
you home.
Okay,
bring you
so,
home.
Because,
we haven't gone to medical school.
Okay, so because you are born with difficulty breathing, and then because you are born too early, there is a risk that you have intracranial bleed. That's one of the risks. You can have an intraventricular bleed.
Okay.
You can have any bleed in the bleeds in the brain, and then because you don't have oxygen getting to the brain itself, the part of the brain tissue might die or will become ischemic. And so because of these issues, and then also the lungs having issues, the brain will not receive adequate oxygen. And because it's not receiving adequate oxygen, then the child can grow up with some deficits.
Oh.
So some of the children might have, we put it in concert, so we name it cerebral palsy. So with cerebral palsy, they'll have difficulty with walking, talking, in different varieties. And so that's why we ask them to come to the school, so the reviews. And so at the review, we are looking out for these conditions. And then the treatment for the hypoxia is to give oxygen. And so we give them oxygen. But with giving the oxygen, if you overdo it too, then you can have some
complications.
You can have the bronchopulmonary dysplasia. That's the cells in the lungs not working very well.
Okay.
And then you can also have, that's an easier way to say it. And then you can also have retinopathy, where the retina, the cells,
the eye,
it's supposed to become vascularized from 4 months to term when you are born. But because we give oxygen, just giving oxygen. Okay, if you overdo it, then you can have that the retinopathy happening. So, for our clinics, we ask them to have routine retinal checks. Dr. Ajay used to do it for us in Keta, he still does it, and so. These are some of the things that can happen. So if there is a cognitive deficit, then the child can have some form of autism. Mm-hmm. Or if there is developmental delays, we put everything under the cerebral palsy. And so that's one thing which we normally see with them. And so we are always looking out for those. And if we notice that there are chances, or we think it's happening, we'll give you the best treatment.
Somebody says, don't you speak English, why?
Oh.
So we understand.
Please comment. I was speaking medical English, so speak the normal one.
The person sends a message and says, hey, doc, English, why? We want to understand. I was telling you. Because we didn't go to medical. But he tried to explain.
Yeah, he's done well.
Well, it's been a very interesting conversation. We're not done. But I will have to go. I have to make some sales, and then I also have some information to share, and then we will come back quickly to continue the conversation. When we come back, Doc will speak English, I promise. He will speak English. I like who sent the message. You hear the other. I'll be right back.
Okay.